This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. We enter your gates with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name, Father. We don't come past the gate, past the courts, Father, past the sanctuary, past the church service, past the radio broadcast, past, Lord, the word that will even come out of my mouth, all the way, Father, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the church service, through the sanctuary, through the holy place, Father, all the way behind the veil, Father, into your very presence, my Father God. So right now, Lord, we just welcome you on this broadcast, my Father God. We welcome your presence, we welcome your word, and we welcome your Holy Spirit. And right now we say unto you, Holy Spirit, it is you who is at work in the earth today. And I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I would ask that you would speak through these lips of clay to minister to the needs of God's people, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Hallelujah. That we will know what is the hope of our calling, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Once again, so that we can know what is the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding greatness of the riches and of the power that's available to us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. So right now, Holy Spirit, we say unto you, have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, incline our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. And Father, as in always, we are always careful to make sure that we give you all of the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the credit. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. In the matchless, mighty name of Jesus, we say yes, amen, and so shall it be. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, once again, it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through these radio waves and just share with y'all the love of God. Boy, it's the greatest story that has ever been told. I always say this, you know, well, I don't always say it, but I say this, you know, I don't have any sermons for you, you know. I don't have really any pre-planned messages, you know. I just study to show myself approved, man, unto God, so that I can be a workman that need not be ashamed, to be able to rightly divide the word of God, so that we might know the truth concerning God and his will and his intent and design purpose for my life. So I just studied, you know. I've been studying this Bible, you know, now for, well, actually all my life. But, boy, I'm talking about when I received the salvation of the Lord, amen, it's been 43 years, 42 years. And ever since then, I've just been in the Word of God. You know, and I when I read the Word of God, I don't read the Word of God to in chapter and verse, you know. I know the Bible, but I don't know it too much in chapter and verse. You know, what I know is the life that's in the Word of God. I wasn't trying to get it. When I was reading the Bible, I wasn't studying to get a sermon or nothing out of it. I found out that in the Word was life. You know, and the life of God is in his Word. So I began to study the Word to find, looking for the life that's in the Word. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about just natural life. I'm talking about Zoe, the God kind of life. Hallelujah. Boy, and I discovered a treasure that is hid in the field. You know, the field is like the whole Word of God. But in this treasure, in this field of all the Word of God and all the messages of God and all the sermons of God and all the priest messages and all the books, man, that's written and everything else, all the archaeology of God, all of the study of God, including the Bible and everything else, you know. Hallelujah. I found that in all of this was a treasure that was hid in the field. The field is like all of the different information and theology that we have of the Word of God, you know, and like I say, all the books. But in all this here, it's a treasure. And it's hid in this field of knowledge. You know, it's not hidden from us, it's hidden for us. And I discovered that the treasure that's hidden in the field that the devil don't ever want to, especially the church, he sure don't want the world to know about. So if he can keep the church from finding out about it, then he don't have to worry about the world, because the only way the world going to come to the knowledge of it is through the church. The greatest thing that he don't ever want the church to come to the knowledge of is not just the gospel of Jesus and the good news about Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus preached. Hallelujah. And boy, we discovered that that's a treasure that I found in the whole Word of God. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's hid in the field. And when you discover that treasure, you go sell everything that you have, boy. You come back and buy that field, you know, because you have in that field, boy, you will have discovered, boy, everything that you've been searching for. Another place to say the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. And you go sell everything that you have, and you come back and you buy that pearl. Why? Because it's the greatest pearl of all the pearls. It's like I told you all the time, it's the greatest story of all the stories. It's the greatest message of all the messages. And boy, the devil don't ever want us, especially us, when I say us, I'm talking about the church. Because most people listen to the Christian radio is believers. So, you know, I'm coming to the church, just like Jesus did. The Bible says he came to his own. And the sad part about that, you know, the Bible says this too, that his own received him not. He came to the religious church in this day and hour. When he was on the place of the earth, he came to them first. Hallelujah. But you say, Arthur, he went to them first, and they didn't receive him because they was already preoccupied with the means. And when the end to the mean came, they didn't even recognize it. They didn't even know it. They didn't even understand it. They didn't just reject the man, you know, or their own man, because they didn't know. They didn't know, boy, that everything that they've been prophesying about and all the laws that they've been told to keep and everything else, boy, that promise that always came to them through all the Old Testament prophets and everything else, that there was a coming Messiah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That, boy, listen, the Old Testament is about two things, boy. The laws that God gave Moses and the prophets. What's it about? It's the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. It's the law that God gave Moses for the people of Israel, and the boy, it's the prophecies that he kept on telling them about, boy, that's coming the Messiah. Until he come, then this is how you live, keep these laws. But boy, when he come, glory to God. Hallelujah. He coming with something, man, and I'm talking about, boy, that he's the fulfillment, man, of my will and my purpose and my intent for your life. And boy, they were looking for him in a different way than which he came. Hallelujah. And they received him not. And that, I think that's what my greatest fear is, especially, you know, in the religious arena, because I live in the Bible Belt here, and it's basically a lot of religion. You know, that's our attempts to appease God. And boy, he came to his own, and they his own received him not. My prayer is that, boy, you know, in our day and hour, boy, that his own, who is his own? The church. You, every last one of you on the sound of my voice, boy. Don't reject this. And I know you haven't rejected Jesus, because that's how you became the church. You received Jesus. You received the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, how he was born, how he came, all the things that he did and everything else on the earth while he was here, and then all about his death and his burial and his resurrection. But you don't know what he was saying while he was on this earth. That's the message that the devil boy has hidden from the church in the graveyard of religion. You don't mind you hearing all the good news about Jesus. That's the gospel of Jesus. That'll get you saved. That'll get your eternal destination set for your life. But boy, that won't get all your what he died for you, the purpose for what he died for you for. That won't get that manifested in your life. That'll get you saved. That'll get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That'll get you to heaven in the sweet by and by. But that won't give man what his intended reason for all that was. That won't get heaven to you. And that's what God's will is. He didn't come, Jesus didn't come down here to try to get us to heaven. He came to bring heaven back to us. Hallelujah. Let me quote you a familiar scripture that all of us in the church world is familiar with. But let me help you understand this. And in understanding this scripture that I'm going to quote to you, you know, I would pray that the Holy Ghost would enlighten the eye of our understanding, and that, boy, he would fill us with the knowledge of this scripture. It's not just with the head knowledge of it, but with the revelation knowledge of it. That we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, you know, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Not just sense knowledge reasonings, but revelation knowledge. And the only way that knowledge is revealed to us is by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I welcome the Holy Ghost onto this broadcast when I came. Hallelujah. So it's no longer man, me, but it's like Jesus said, excuse me, when he began his public ministry to the public. He said this. He never attributed none of those things that he did to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What did he say it often? He said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. He the one that anoints me. He the one that equips me. He the one that smears upon me everything that I have need of, all the potential that I have need of, this life that you see me living. He's that life. And he's the one that manifested in and through me. He's the one that speaks through me. He's the one that bring the words that come from the Father through me into manifestation. Who art the Holy Spirit? That's why we welcome him on this broadcast, you know, and my desire that he would take us to our next. Do you know there's a going on in God? Hallelujah. That we don't just stop at the good news about Jesus. See, that's what the devil has got us to do. He's got us preoccupied with the means. That's the means. And that's very important. And that's very needed. And that's very much, man, needed to be proclaimed and preached and taught among us, you know. Hey, listen, but that's not the end. That's just the beginning to the end. What's the end, Arthur? That scripture that I said I was going to quote to you, boy, just a few seconds ago. John chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar scripture. All of us know what it is. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. What God did? God so loved the world. Now listen to what it says. God so loved the world. What's a world? A world is a Greek word. Is originally intended is spelled K-O-S-M-O-S, not C-O-S-M-O-S. No, K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. This word world means, in the Greek, means pattern of operation, system, governing system. the system, man, the functioning system, man, and operations, pattern of operation. I say it again. But it is, the earth is terra. That's the land that we live on. That's the territory. But on this earth, there's a governing system that functions on this earth, that operates on this earth, that you and I live in. A governing system, man, of this world that we live in. Which, man, not this earth that we live on, but, man, the pattern of operation and the system, man, that runs it. Like we got, man, you know, the world of politics. That's a governing system that influences and impacts this earth. We got the world of finances. That's a governing system that governs this earth, a pattern of operation. That's a world. We got the social world. We got, man, you know, the educational world. All these are governing systems and patterns of operation that influence and impacts this earth. That's what the word world means. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. What world God loved? The world that we live in right now? No, this is not the pattern of operation that we live under now, the governing system of this earth that we live under now. No. He so loved the world, the system, the pattern of operation that he set up. Listen, he set up a world on the earth. It's in your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Listen, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is the only two perfect chapters in the Bible. In those two chapters right there, God set up, man, he created the earth. That's a territory. And then he set up a system and a pattern of operation and a governance system on this earth. So that, boy, that system could influence and impact this earth. That pattern of operation. He set that up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And boy, he loved that world so much, that pattern of operation, that system that he set up on the earth, he loved that world so much till, boy, he sent his only begotten son. To do what, Arthur? To get that world back. Because, see, he lost that world in Genesis chapter 3. That's where Adam and Eve, them man, ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they got put out of the Garden of Eden, and they found themselves, man, over in the barren land, the wilderness. But you and that's this world system that we live in here on the earth now. This physical system, this physical pattern of operation. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, our political system, our educational system, our financial system, our social system, you know, agriculture system. All these are different systems, you know, and that's the world that we live in now, but that's not how God intended for it to be. All this is a result of the fall of Adam in Genesis chapter 3. And find ourselves here, boy, in a world of good and evil. You remember when God told Adam and Eve, man, listen, you can eat off all the trees in the garden, but if you eat off, don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you do, if you do, then you're going to surely die. Listen, when he said you're going to surely die there, he was really talking about physical death. Physical death was going to be a result of it, but he was talking about spiritual death. That's the original death. What you mean spiritual death? You're going to separate yourself from your source and your sustainer. Who is your source and sustainer? That's Almighty God. That's the Word of God. And that's the life of God. That's the Holy Spirit, the life of God. You're going to separate yourself from your source and your sustainer, who? Your Father, His Word, and His life. Who is the Father? That's the source and sustainer. Who is the Word? That's Jesus. Who is the life that's in that Word? That's the Holy Spirit. And when you separate yourself from that, then you're going to surely die. It's like taking a plant out the soil. It stayed green for a little while, but boy, listen, it's separated from its source. What's its source? The ground, the soil. And when you separate it from its source, then when it's dead, it's separated from its source. And what's the result of it? Then his body, the leaves start turning from green to brown, start decaying. Before you know it, man, and go back to the dust of the ground from which it came from. But they were, because he got separated from his souls. That's death. But death, man, physical death is a result of spiritual death. So that's how God lost that world that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Listen, the world that God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you glory to God. Boy, this is the gospel of the kingdom. What he set up a world, and where did he set up, boy? He set up a kingdom. He didn't set up a religion. Boy, he set up a kingdom. What's a kingdom? A kingdom is a king's domain or a territory over which a king has power, control, and influence over. What's a territory? That's a domain. What the domain? He got a king over the domain. And what's the governing authority of that territory? The word of the king. What the king say. That's what goes. The king's word. That's why you have this Bible here. That's why I told you earlier, I don't study to read the Bible to get no sermons out of it, boy. I want to know what the king say. Because, boy, let me tell you something. When you come to the knowledge of what the king say, boy, listen, heaven and earth going to pass away, and all the other words going to pass away, and the law and the prophets, all that's going to pass away. But what the king say, glory to God, they're going to abide forever, boy. Boy, so I found, man, I started searching the Bible and looking in there, boy, and boy, the Holy Ghost revealed to me, man, what the king say. Thank God for what, boy, the king said through the prophets. Thank God for what the king said through all of us as administrators of God's word. Thank God for what, boy, the king say through one another, exalting one another in the body of Christ, building one another up and everything else. That's a good thing. But, boy, that's something greater than that. What, boy? When you can go, man, like I told you, past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church service, past religion, past that good feeling, all the way, man, back into the world that God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Glory to God. Back at past the church, sir, past religion, past all them things, man, that we preoccupied with, boys, in this generation, man, all the way back into the presence of the Most High God. Because let me tell you something, boy, about what's the most important thing about that world that God set up on the earth, and the reason why, the purpose why God set that world up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because everything, I don't care what it is, man, I'm talking about everything from, man, when Adam and Eve fell in Genesis chapter 3, man, all the way through the end of your Bible is a means to one end, boy. What's that end, boy? Boy, that world that God set up on the earth, that system that he set up on the earth, and by the way, boy, he set up, boy, the kingdom of heaven on the earth. We know it as the Garden of Eden. But the most important thing about that, that's where he placed Adam and Eve at, in that place. Not in a barren land, boy. They didn't find themselves out into this barren land, man, until after they got put out their place. But God planted that environment in that atmosphere, and that, man, that on the earth, what? The Garden of Eden. Why was that so important, Arthur? Because what that represented, to make it all simple, boy, because in that place, boy, God was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. What are you saying, Arthur, boy? Listen, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God was in them and they was in God. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Arthur, boy? That the whole thing, man, the whole thing that God most desire the most, boy, is to be with you. Glory to God. And you be with him. That's what happened, man. We got separated from God. We were like a plant, man, that was in the soil. We got pulled out from the soil, and we got separated from God. And, boy, we landed into the wilderness. You know, that's this world that we live in that's set up on the earth today. And listen, in this world that's set up on the earth today, it got a lot of good in it. It's got a lot of good people in it. It got a lot of good intentions in it and everything else. But, boy, it got a lot of evil in it, too. Boy, in the world that God set up in it, man, let me tell you something, boy. Everything that he created, everything else, he was all good. It was all great. Glory to God. And boy, everything that he's doing, man, is a means to one end, man. What's that, boy? He just want to be with us. Hallelujah. He just want us, boy, to have the consciousness, man, that, boy, not only do he want to be with us, boy, but that we might begin to practice the awareness that because of what he loved so much and because of what his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent to, that has already done for us, boy, that he has fulfilled that desire. That he's with us. And not only is he with us, boy, it's more than that. He never left Adam and Eve, even after they willfully disobeyed him. What was happening, he was no longer in them. He was always among them. He ain't going to never leave them, never forsake them. I don't care what they did, man. His word going to stand. And he said something in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What he said, let's make them in our image and our likeness. Who are you talking about? Talking about us, mankind. And let's give them dominion. Let's give them a territory who they can have power and control and influence over. What? The earth, hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it can be in their territory just like it is in my territory, said the Lord. So that it can be in their life here on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the world that he set up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in the Garden of Eden. It was heaven on earth. Hallelujah. And God wasn't trying to get his children, Adam and Eve, to heaven. God was down here on earth with Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. 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 And boy, listen here, boy, how was God among him then by the power of the Holy Ghost? What's the Holy Ghost? That's the life of God. That's God in man. Remember the Bible says, and God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. What's the breath of life, boy? That's the life of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And man, who is man? A spirit. Became a living soul. But God created the man first. That's the spirit. And then he created man. Then that's in heaven. And then he came down from heaven, boy, man from heaven. And he formed a body from the dust of the ground. And there he placed the spirit of man in. When he breathed into man's nostrils, the breath of life, hey, boy, he put that spirit that he created in his image and his likeness, that little offspring of God, that son of God, that you and that I, hallelujah. That Zoe life, like the way God lives and like the way God intended for us to live, spiritual life. Hallelujah. And in our spirit, boy, he released the Holy Spirit. He breathed into our, the man nostrils, the breath of life. Boy, he put on the inside of us, on the inside of us, not among us, on the inside of us, boy, his life. His ability to live that life, his power to live that life, his dominion, his potential, to fulfill, boy, his desire. What his desire when he placed Adam and Eve them in the Garden of Eden? That it be on earth as it is in heaven. You've been praying it all your life in the Lord's Prayer and perhaps have not had any spiritual understanding of what you've been saying. What? Lord, let your kingdom come. That's the first request. That's the first petition in the course of heaven. That's the first prayer. You're praying other things first. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I need provision. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Your Heavenly Father know that you have need of all those things. But if you come to the place where, boy, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all them things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. 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 Because all those things are your inheritance from the beginning. You lost that in Adam. You lost that, boy, in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. You lost the presence of the Lord. You lost the Garden of Eden. You lost your sovereignty, your dominion, your ability, man, to govern this earth. You gave, boy, the governing influence that God gave us in Adam and Eve in the garden, you gave that over to a devil. That's what Adam did. The dominion that God gave him, he turned it over to the devil. And the devil plunged our territory, our domain, our kingdom, our earth, into what it is here today. And instead of being on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. But boy, like I told you, boy, God so loved that original world that he set up, that he lost in Adam. He loved that world so much, boy, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that's what you celebrate every year, man, around December 25th. Man, I don't know what day he was born on, but anyway, that's the day that we had dedicated to the designated to celebrate. You know, anyway, that's not the issue, what day he was on, but the very fact that he was born. But that here, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the birth of the fulfillment of that prophecy that God spoke, boy, in the old covenant, what the law and the prophets. But they kept saying, boy, that's coming the Messiah. And, boy, he's going to set this thing back on earth the way it's supposed to be, boy. And of his kingdom, there ain't going to be no end. Of his governing system. Of the governing system and of his pattern of operation. Of God's world. God's original world. God's original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our life. He's going to set that back up on this earth, boy. Hallelujah. 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 And boy, let me tell you something, boy. He came 2,000 years ago. Right? That's the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the coming. That's the God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Hallelujah. So he was born. Hallelujah. So he came. What he came for, boy? He coming, man, to do something. He coming to bring heaven back to earth. He coming to bring what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, before Adam and Eve, them ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that life, that arrangement, that pattern of operation, he coming to bring that back. Well, the devil don't ever want you to know that. He wants you to just have a good church. He just wants you to keep on trying your best to make it in. Man, let me tell you something. You ain't got to try to make it in. The way it had already been made. Glory to God. Listen, salvation is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God. There ain't nothing you do to earn that. That's a gift from God. What you got to do? You got to come to the knowledge that it's a gift from God and understand that it's a gift from God. And then, most importantly, receive that gift from God. What does the author receive? Receive is a grammatical construct. It comes from, boy, the word to, a word see, and a prefix before it, re. Re mean to go back. Receive is an old English word, mean to have. Re mean to go back. So receive, you mean to have again. Hallelujah. What you got to do, boy? You had that life in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And you lost that life in Genesis chapter 3. And boy, in the fullness of time, God sent his son to get that life back for you. To cleanse you up from all our unrighteousness and the sin that we were born in and shaped in. That's his death on the cross. That's what I'm talking about, the most important holiday of all year. You don't understand what's really happening there. You got some physical and intellectual knowledge of it, but you don't have no spiritual knowledge and understanding of that. See, you must have some not only knowledge of that, but you must have to have the understanding of that. Why, so that we can, man, appropriate it into our lives. What he did, Arthur, boy, he came. He was born. And, boy, he came, boy, to restore something back, boy. What was lost? What was lost? Let me tell you something, what mankind lost in Genesis chapter 3. The most important thing that you lost was the Holy Spirit. That breath of life that God breathed into mankind, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit left. And when the Holy Spirit left out of man, the life of God left out of man's body and man's spirit that was living in a physical body, when the Holy Spirit left, what that is, that's the life of God. That's the Zoe life. That's the power and the ability to live that life also. That's what left. Holy Spirit can't dwell in unclean temples. So he had to leave. And then when he left, you know, no next thing happened. Then your Bible, you know, hey, Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden. What they got put out of? What's the Garden of Eden? What that represent? The presence of the Lord. They got put out of the presence of the Lord. So what they lost more the life of God, the Zoe life. And now we living man and dying like mere men and mere women. Just living natural life, man. When all the time, boy, the life of God was breathed into Adam's nostril, mankind's nostril. The Holy Spirit, boy, that life, the life of God, the Zoe life, Well, we lost that, and when we lost that boy, that's the Holy Spirit. He left, and then mankind, you know the story. He got put out of the Garden of Eden. That's the presence of the Lord. He got put out of the presence of the Lord. Where he at now? Now he out in the wilderness. When I say out of the presence of the Lord no longer on the inside of him, and no longer man dwelling in him, and they in him. They're no longer in that atmosphere, and that environment that comes from the literal presence of the Lord with us and in us. What he lost? He lost the Holy Spirit. We lost the presence of the Lord in our lives. What's the next thing we lost? God said, let them have dominion over the earth. Let's give them kingship over the earth. Let's give them, man, the power and the authority and the ability and the potential, boy, to fulfill what my will is for their life, that it be in their lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. What we lost our dominion, our right to dominate, to manage, to control, to influence, well, this earth. What dominion and authority and power he gave us to do that for? So that it can be in our lives here, boy, as it is on earth. How you going to get that done? Through the governing influence of the life of God that was on the inside of us. Through the Holy Spirit that was on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Through the presence of the Lord that we was in. Listen, that's the only way that can be done. You can't fulfill God's will for your life, man, outside of the presence of the Lord. As long as you're in this wilderness experience, man, trying to make it in, man, you can never fulfill the will of God for your life. That's why we said earlier, you know, man, we got to come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, man, past the church service, man, all the way back into the Garden of Eden, all the way back into Genesis chapter 1 and 2, all the way back into the presence of the Lord. And the good news is, man, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, boy, that, man, that took place on the earth in that day and time, man, that made the way for you to come back into that. That made the way for you to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. That made a way for you, man, to now be able to live the way God intended for you to live. You know why we're having so many, no much problem trying to come out of sin and live holy? Because you're trying to do that in and of yourself. Man, let me tell you something more. The best you can do, man, you can't do that. If you could, there wouldn't be no need for the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, man, to lead us out of darkness into the marvelous light. God says, that's your way of trying to appease deity. But God got a way, man. And God's way, man, is to cleanse you up from the inside. If not, you'll be trying to stop sinning so that you could become more righteous. You'll be trying to live the crucified life when all the time, boy, there's a resurrected life that's available to us. And what got us still wandering around in the wilderness, man, is because we're trying to live the crucified life. We're trying to stop sinning so that we could become more righteous. No, that's backwards. That's the way they were doing it in the old covenant. In the new covenant, man, you don't quit sinning to become more righteous. You awake to your righteousness. You become more conscious that you are all the righteousness of God already. That you are as righteous as you ever going to be. How'd that happen? That ain't of yourself. That's a gift from God, too. Hello. Well, boy, I'm talking about he who knew no sin. Talking about Jesus. That's the death and burial and the resurrection. We're going to get into that in time to come. I just want to give you a foundation, boy, so that you can understand, man, what Christmas really is. And, boy, what Easter really is. So it don't be, man, a once-a-year celebration for you, man. Or we celebrate his birth, man, on December 25th. And, boy, the next week, man, we go into a new year, man. And, man, we don't even celebrate that no more. We celebrate Easter service, man, Easter Sunday like we did a few weeks ago, man. And now that that's all over with and everything else, you done gone on right on back into, boy, this wilderness life that you've been living in. Because you don't understand that. Listen, boy, we unlocked all them, unopened all them gifts, man, that we had during the Christmas holiday that we got from one another. But let me tell you something. Because of a lack of understanding, you left the most precious things under the tree. What? The gift that came, man, when Jesus Christ was born. Listen, he came with gifts, too. We receive gifts from one another and all the different material things that we give to one another on that holiday, man, and everything else, and made it a dead man. And that's the mean, but boy, then we forward to the end. What's the end? The gift that God gave us when he sent his son to this earth, when Jesus Christ was born. We didn't leave none of those gifts that we got from one another unwrapped and still under the tree. But the gift that God gave you and me, what is it? The gift of life. The gift of eternal life. That's a gift. The Bible say, boy, in Romans chapter 6, boy, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's a gift. The Bible says, as many of us as received the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life. How you reign in life, boy? That righteousness is a gift from God. Listen, salvation, that's a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves, that's a gift from God. The salvation, that's a gift from God. And the grace to appropriate that salvation in our lives, that's a gift from God too. All these are gifts from God. They're still up under the tree. You talk about the gifts and we celebrate the gifts and everything else, but boy, they still have you opened your gift of salvation and played with it and used it and coming to the knowledge that you are saved, not trying to get saved, not hope that you make it in when it's all said and done, but you know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if your spirit was to leave your body today, you know that everything is all right, boy, because hallelujah, hallelujah, boy, you receive your gift of salvation. But when you receive your gift of righteousness, you quit trying to stop sinning and you start, man, living righteous. Instead of trying to stop sin to live, to become more righteous, you are awake to the fact that you are already righteous and you start trying to live righteous. Instead of trying to quit sinning, you start learning how to live right. And as you learn how to live right, then you're sinning less and less and less. The Bible said it this way, awake to righteousness. Awake me and you sleep to it. You don't know that you're already righteous. You're trying to get righteous. You ask most believers, are you righteous? Or they say, no, what I'm trying to get right. Man, you're as righteous as you ever going to be. You was made righteous. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21. That's a gift from God. But if you don't know that, you're still trying to live the crucified life. When all the time, man, you know, when you awake to righteousness, you start living a resurrected life. Hallelujah. What's the resurrected life, boy? That's life the way God lives and life the way God intended for us to live. Far above all principalities and powers and dominions and might. Boy, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, boy, he had all power. And listen, you know what he had all power? He went down into the pits of hell, boy, and took the keys from death, hell, and the grave from Satan. We preach that and we say that, man, you know, and most of the time we just preach it during funeral services, man. But nothing, you need to know that, man. What you mean? Well, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? You mostly hear that, man, during funeral services and everything. You know, man, you need to hear that, man, and know what that really is. What, boy? That because of this holiday that we just got to celebrate, man, called Easter. Hallelujah. But you might understand that and know what that means. What, boy? That, boy, death no longer has any authority and power over our lives no more. That Satan no longer has any authority and power and control and influence over our lives no more. That sin and death, boy, no longer have any power and control and influence over our lives no more. Why, boy? Because you would know something, man. You would not only, like I say, celebrate Jesus' resurrection, but you would come to the realization that you were crucified with him. And just like you died with him, man, then you also was risen with him, too. The Bible say, hallelujah, boy. In the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it say, listen, boy. We who were dead in trespassing and sin, we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet it's not us, but it's Christ who liveth in us. And the life that we now live, We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. What are you saying there, Arthur? Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ, man, when he came to this earth and he was living, man, he was a suffering Savior. He ain't no suffering Savior no more. He's a reigning King. That's what the Bible says. We suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Listen, boy, in the wilderness, man, you still suffering. We've been suffering long enough, man. It's time for us, man, to come on out the wilderness, man, and cross over this Jordan River. We done already crossed over the Red Sea. We already saved. We ain't in Egypt no more. We already received, man, the gift of salvation. But the gift of salvation is a means to an end. What end? So that you can come on back into what God's original plan and intent for our lives. Hallelujah, boy, that we live forever in the presence of the Lord. Say that again, sir. We live forever in the presence of the Lord. That's why the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So where is death, where you're staying, great, where your victory at, boy, you will know so when you understand Easter. And to understand Easter, boy, you got to understand, man, four concepts. Four major concepts. And if you understand these four major concepts, man, then you will understand what Easter is all about. And without the understanding of these four concepts, then you could never really enjoy the benefits. Or you could celebrate it. You can have, that's what Easter is, man, a commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But boy, you would never come to the end. Oh, Lord. There's more to it than just us celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's more to it than that. There's more to it that you have an understanding of what really took place on that day and what really happened and why God really sent his son, why he really was born. The Bible says, listen, for this reason came I into the world. You're talking about, boy, I came here to die. I was born to die. I was born, man, to bring life back to this earth. And I was born to die to get the life back onto this earth. Hallelujah. What you died for? There's four things that we got to understand, man, to really understand, four concepts that we got to understand at the church to understand Easter. And it's going to take more than just an hour. You know? And perhaps, man, the Holy Spirit will allow us to take one each broadcast starting from next week. But it's four major concepts that we as the church, the body of Christ, must understand in order for us to appropriate, boy, all the blessings of Easter, man, into our lives. What, man? The Bible says, I say it again, man. Paul said this. He said, I cease not to pray for you. All of you, man, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I cease not to pray for you and to make mention of you in my prayers, one. That the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ might fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can know what is the hope of us, of our calling, that we could know what our purpose is at the church, that we could know who we are, so that we could know what God is doing in our life, so that we could know the truth, so that we could know, hallelujah, and not only know what is the hope of his calling, but the exceeding, watch this, the exceeding great and precious power that's available to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, boy, that's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's available to us. What kind of power, boy? Power over death, power over the devil, power over sin, power over the grave, power over the hell, power over all the works of the devil. Why are we not operating in that power? Because you ain't been hearing the gospel of the kingdom. You ain't been hearing like I said earlier, you've been hearing the gospel of Jesus, but you ain't been hearing, boy, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. He didn't just preach redemption. In fact, he didn't even preach that to the end. But what did he preach, man? Restoration. Hallelujah. He preached the end. What's the end, boy? Restoration. What was the means to the restoration? Redemption. We're not careful. We just preach redemption. How he died up on the cross, but we won't preach, man, what Jesus preached. Know what Jesus preached, boy? He said, listen, the way, man, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Back to, the way to what? The way back into the Garden of Eden. I'm the truth. I'm the truth about, man, what's really going on. I'm the reality. That word truth don't like not true or false. I mean, I'm the reality of what this thing is really all about. You want to know how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to be and what you were created to be? Yeah, then I come in. I'm not only the way to that, but I'm the truth about that. Check me out. Hello. I didn't allow circumstance and situation and system to dictate to me. I didn't allow the functioning system of this world system that I was born in to dictate to me. I dictated to it, even over over this circumstance and situation. I even spoke to the winds and the waves, man, the demons and the devils, sickness and disease, man. They didn't dictate to me. I dictated to it. Even though your greatest enemy, man, death, I didn't allow it to dictate to me. I dictated to it. They crucified me, baby, and I got up. What you saying, Jesus? I come to show you, man, you. I come to show you, boy, the life that God intended for you to live. I come to show you, man, what I came to bring back to you. What? That boy, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so can you. The life that you see me living, so can you. I'm not talking about living no Christian life and religious life. I'm talking about living the life that God, boy, sent Jesus Christ, boy, to get back to us that we lost in the hour. What's that, boy, that eternal life, that everlasting life, that Zoe life, man, that ability, man, to instead of, man, all of the onslaught of this world system in here that causes brokenhearted and despair of life and worry and doubt and unbelief and sickness and disease. Hold on. No, indeed, boy. He said, boy, I come to reverse that in your life. Hallelujah. I come to give you back, man, your sovereignty, your dominion, your royal power, your righteousness, the Holy Spirit. I come to give you back, everything that you had need of, man, so that you can be just like me. So the way you see me living, and I come to show you, boy, what's available to you. Now you take up, man, where I left off at. I'm going to take your place, and I'm going to die for you, man. But, boy, I'm going back up to the Father. When I go back up to the Father, then I just got one request, boy, one thing. Boy. I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take your sins. I'm going to take all your faults, your heartache, your pain, your suffering, your weakness. I'm going to take all that, boy, and I'm going to nail it to a tree on Calvary. And what you want me to do, Jesus, I want you to take up where I left off at. I want you to take my place. I want you to be like me. I want you to stop trying to be a Christian, man, and stop trying to be, man, a son of the Most High God. Stop trying to live, man, and make it in and start living, man, like you already made it in. Stop trying to quit sinning and, man, start living righteous. Stop trying to get saved, man, and just start being saved. Stop trying to get healed and just start being healed. Stop trying, man, to appease deity, man, or operate through your religion, man. But, boy, come on past the gates of Thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church, all the way to my very presence where I can have a one-on-one, boy, encounter with you. What that mean, boy? Back into the presence of the Most High God. Boy, I said this in the beginning, and I said, man, now, boy. Everything is a means to one end, boy. And that one end is to get you and I, man, the life of God back on the inside of us, man, by the power of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we can all come back into the presence of the Lord. So that we could all come, man, behind the veil, man, into the presence of the Lord. So we can start fellowshipping and living, man, from that place. So that we can start living, man, like we already saved. Like we already, man, dear. Like we already redeemed. Like we already healed. Like we already are the righteousness of God. Like we already are holy. Because that's what he chose even before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And what the king say, that's where going to go. The Bible says this, thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And may the God of our Father, glory to God, who are the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us already. Half of the old English were already done. What with all the spiritual blessings, where they at? They in heavenly places. Where they at? They back in the kingdom of heaven. Where they at? They back in the Garden of Eden, man. They back in that secret place of the Most High God. But they back in the presence of the Most High God. They back in the kingdom of heaven. Where all our blessings at? Where all our healing at? Where all our beauty at? Where all our power at? Where all our life is at? It's in the kingdom of heaven. It's in the Garden of Eden. It's back into the presence of the Lord. Because only from that place, man, only from the place of righteousness and holiness, man, can we begin to live and be and do and have everything that God created us to be and do and have. And what God is telling to us through this broadcast, man, all you who have heavy laden and trying your best to make it in and all kind of issues and problems that's in this world that you're in today, come unto me, boy, and find rest, glory to God, for your soul. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. I promise to give you rest from all your labor. I promise to make you to if you seek me and come after me, boy, then you will find me, man. And not only will you find me, you'll find that all that you have for me. You'll find that peace that passes understanding. You'll find, boy, that pearl of great price. You'll find that treasure that's hid in the field. You'll find your identity. You'll find your power and your sovereignty and your dominion. You'll find your Zoe life that's available to all of us, that life of God. You'll find your purpose and your destiny. And you'll begin to live your life, boy, from there. And not only will you be living, boy, life, but you'll be living life, what, more abundantly. What's more abundantly? Superior in quality and superior in quantity. What's that, Arthur? That's a whole lot of good life. Glory to God. What that again, Arthur? That's the life of God. That's the life the way God lives and the life the way God intended for you and I to live in. That kind of life. Well, all that said, Arthur, boy, let me wrap this broadcast up, boy, with saying this here, man. That's all us coming to the understanding, man, you know, and to deal with the knowledge of God's will. Listen, let me finish reading it to you, boy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us even before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy, that means just like him, and without blame, covered in his love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus our Lord. He said this, skip down to verse 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. For what purpose, Arthur? So that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened, that we might know, hallelujah, what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding glory of the riches of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, that he, toward us, which he displayed, boy, when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. Listen, my time is up on this broadcast, and I want you to know something, you know, that we're going to understand this, and we probably continue in next week. But what we're going to, this is just the introduction, but we got to understand these four concepts in order for us to